We're continuing lesson three. Hopefully everybody has a copy of three. Anybody need one? Raise your hand. One more shot. Okay. We've got lesson fours you can get as you leave tonight for next week. I appreciate Walker teaching on my behalf last time, and I very much appreciate that. Let me mention what we're doing. I know we have those that we always would have visitors in our class and those that may not have been in all the previous studies. What we're trying to do, in essence, is quite simple. We want to know what local churches ought to do. What does the Lord want local churches to be in their organization, in their work, in their worship? Now, many people today will tell you, you don't even need to study that. Do what you feel like doing. Say that Jesus is Lord and then do other things. And many people would even claim that the Bible really doesn't want us to address such things. But I believe very firmly we must. I believe that when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, when we become Christians, that He is our Lord. And that word Lord means that we are an absolute slave. A willing slave. A grateful slave. It's a good thing to have Jesus as your Lord and to give you direction. This is the God of heaven giving you direction. And so, as we pointed out, that Jesus, in His example, in His ministry, over and over again emphasized, follow me. Let me be the example to you to how to live. And then He kept emphasizing what He did with the Father. He said, I only did what the Father gave me. Nothing but that. Whatever the Father revealed, that's what I do. I do nothing on my own. John 12:48, it says, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judgeth him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Really, what makes this church unique? This local congregation in this area and other congregations like it that take this approach. When we decide that we really need to have authority for the things that we do, and we take that seriously, then you really start getting into the Word and trying to find what the Lord has revealed on the subject and only do that. So, we're talking about local churches. And what really, the study is very simple. Let's find all the verses that talk about what local churches do, and let's do that. Nothing more. Nothing less. You'll end up looking really strange when you compare to other churches that may take a different approach, and they will say, let the culture determine. Let's have a majority rule about what we want to do. And you will see various differences there. I really believe this is what the Lord wants us to do. And so now the lesson we're talking about tonight is really, I could probably teach it to you in 5 minutes and we could go home. Now, I won't do that. I'm going to go into more detail. But the essence of the lesson is we first need to understand what a local church is. And I believe Walker covered that last week, so I'll review it briefly. And then secondly, when you go to verses in the Bible and you want to find out what a local church does, find a local church addressed in the verse. You can't take a verse talking of what an individual Christian is to do and then assume that it's church responsibility. That's all I'm going to be proving tonight. But once you establish those 2 points, it's easy to find out what the Lord wants. Now, just as a review, I've only put scriptures up here on my PowerPoint from the outline so we can move quickly tonight. But one of the things that we pointed out, that the word church, the Greek word ekklesia, ek is from is a preposition out of, and kaleo is a verb to call. It literally means to call out. The word church is in the New Testament has different meanings. This is true of most New Testament words, that the word can have different meanings in different contexts. For instance, Matthew 16:18 on the board here. Jesus says, I will build my churches, right? My churches. No, my church. Now, we'll talk about churches in a minute, but here there is a way the word church is used where there's but one. Notice Ephesians 1:22-23. It says, speaking of Jesus, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to the head over all things to the church. Not the churches, but the church. There's a singular description here of a group. Matter of fact, it's described later, which is his body. Let me ask a simple question. How many bodies do you have? We've got one. You know, we got one. I know we dream, no matter what we dream and what we do, and we wish we had a different body or could, you know, take them all like we do clothes. We can't do that. We've got one body. And here the illustration is that Jesus is the head, and individual members, we comprise the body. The term church, when you speak of one church, is dealing with the relationship of individuals to Christ. That's it. You're a Christian, you're the body of Christ. There is but one church, and it comprises Christians all over the world. Whoever is a Christian is in the one body. And so again, what you see in Ephesians 4:4, that the emphasis is there's one body, like there's one Spirit, one Lord, one Holy God. So as we just, again, that's one way the word church is used. In fact, how do you become a Christian? 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. I became a Christian in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, back in 1973, long time ago. Where did you become a Christian? You became a Christian wherever you were a Christian. When you came into the body of Christ, you were in that one body. Now, by the way, this is not what I'm studying in the context of our study when I talk about a local church. Is there more than one local church in the world? I hope so. If not, could you imagine if this was it? Then people would have to come from all over the world. I don't think our building would hold them there, would it? It's not that there's one local church. There's one body. But we'll talk about local churches in just a moment here. Here, when we get to some other verses, we see the word church used in another way, in a local sense. To the church of God, which is at Corinth. Notice Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Wait just a minute. That's plural. I thought there was but one church. Why do we conclude, class? What's that?
He's talking about the local church.
Local churches. The term church, just like a lot of Bible words, you've got to look at the context to know the meaning. By the way, there's another usage of the word church. We talk about here the churches of Galatia, another example. There's another way the word church is used. By the way, they didn't translate a church here. But in Acts 19:32, people got upset. Particularly the guys that were making the idols were running out of business in Ephesus, and everybody got mad, and non-Christians came together. They were ready to start whooping up on Christians. They were mad. Acts 19:32, it says, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Do you know what Greek word that term assembly is from? Ekklesia, the same word translated church. Here is an assembly of unbelievers. You see, Bible words oftentimes, you know, we sometimes think of them as always dealing with divine things as far as the word. But no, there's nothing special with that word ekklesia. In the Greek language, it's normally translated assembly, a gathering of people. Let me show you one more usage here. In 1 Corinthians 14, we won't talk about this tonight. It'd be a great study. By the way, those of you who watched the Super Bowl and didn't come to our devotional Sunday night, it was okay. I didn't mind that because I know, you know, that's a social night. A lot of people, and you can download and listen to audio. But we talked about this. We explained every question you could possibly want to know about this verse Sunday night. So sorry you missed it. But notice here. In 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 34, it says, let your women keep silent in the churches. In verse 34, 35, it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now, let's think for a moment. Does that mean the moment that a woman becomes a Christian, she can't speak anymore? Is that what that means? Okay, it doesn't mean, maybe when she becomes a member of a local church, then she can't speak anymore. No, it's neither one of those. Guess what it means here? The assembly, a specific kind of assembly. Really the assembly where we have the whole church come together in one place. And that's why we won't have women preachers or women make an announcement trying to follow these verses. But again, that's not the point of our study, except to understand, when we use the word church in our study, we're talking about a local church. Not the assembly, not the universal church. We're trying to talk about the Lord's church. Now, let me show you a controversy that sometimes comes up in this area. Normally, by the way, when I study with somebody on this, I have never had a person that's gone through the study with me that didn't end up agreeing with me on this lesson. There's some brethren that they'll say, well, you know, whatever the individual Christian may do, the church may do. And what they say that if, you know, if there's a book, chapter, and verse for me as a Christian to go, let's say in this case, just anything that if look, the Bible tells me to do, then if I can do it as a Christian, the church can do it collectively. And they take the position that as long as the Lord commands something to the individual Christian or a local congregation is mentioned, the local congregation can do it. I disagree with that. I want to show you why. It's very significant. Matter of fact, I've not yet met a Christian that honestly believes that. I've had people that argued it, and by the time we work through this lesson, they go, okay, we got to find verses addressing the church before we go to the church may do. Sometimes people will put it this way. The local church is made up of individual members, so when a Christian does a good deed, it's really the church that does it. I don't think that's right. We talk about the church is made up of local members, but the collective work done through the treasury of the local church is more narrow than what individual Christians are to do. And so again, you can follow that line. But here's the position I take. There is a distinction between the work of an individual Christian and a local church. All I'm saying is that, look, if we want to know what local churches do, go look at verses addressing local churches. Yeah. Did you just take those verses? And when you do that, you're going to find a difference in the work of a local Christian, an individual Christian in a local church. So don't assume church responsibility until you can see the church addressed in the verse. Okay, and then the third review, and we won't talk about this one, but some people deny that local churches ought to even exist. Now, last week Walker covered this as well. Let's suppose, and we can use Sunday night as an example, for those that didn't come to my study. Let's suppose we had a group that got together on Sunday night to watch the Super Bowl. And because you didn't get the pizza at our house and you had to go buy your own, and you took up some money and you went and bought pizza. And you watched the Super Bowl. Now, let's suppose you had four or five Christians there. They took up a collection. They did something. Is that a local church working? A group of Christians? It's a group of individual Christians. I've had some people tell me that any time a group of Christians get together, that's a local church. No. Let me tell you why. Those of you who are members here at the University Church, even though you're a Christian and you're a member of another church before you came here, there was a process by which you identified with this church, wasn't there? You let it be known that I want to be a member of this church. There is an identifiable membership of a local church. Remember when Paul came to Jerusalem? He wasn't automatically a member of the local church at Jerusalem. He had to be identified with them. And initially, they didn't want any part of him because they thought he was still trying to kill Christians. Okay, so one of the things you have to have is an agreement to work and worship together. Another thing that you have to have is a common oversight. All right, I've got a deep. Go ahead.
I was recently talking to someone who, they thought the idea of us like having a form that we filled out for, you know, to show that we wanted to be a member here, was strange. They didn't like it at all.
Yes.
What would you say to that person? I would have gone to that.
We've got an alternative form. What we do is we've got a group that surrounds you, puts a bright light on something, and we ask questions. Yeah, that's more fun. No, actually, no. They just didn't know. We had that. Actually, what we're trying to do when you want someone to become part of a local church is that we just want to find out, are you a Christian? You know, there's probably a few other simple questions to ask. I'm actually on the membership committee. We normally ask people some simple questions. We want to find out if you're a faithful Christian. Not that we go do a background check. I need you to know about the little group you can subscribe to, and they keep track of your sins, you know, like a credit report. Uh-oh, bad credit. No, we don't have any of those. We don't go investigate. But we do try to find out that you're serious about serving the Lord. And so any way you can do that, yeah, form is less personal. And we probably are doing that almost because of the number of students at the beginning of the semester. You see, if you waited a few weeks, you'd probably get to talk to the committee. We do have a committee, don't we, that sits down with somebody and talks to them. So we actually expedite that. But that's a judgment call there. So, all right. Have a love with church. You got to have agreement to work and worship together. Do you know what's on your report? No, I'm sorry. I think you have some interesting commercials about that, you know. Okay, here we go. The next question you would have would be, you'd have to have a common oversight. Now, do you know how we determine that 7 o'clock on Wednesday night is when we're going to meet? What? You know, remember the verse on that one?
2 Romans.
Yeah, I think it was Hezekiah 4:5, I think. Actually, what you find here is that anytime you have a local church, we're going to have to meet at certain times. We have to have a certain kind of place to meet. You want to buy a building, rent a building? Hey, there has to be an oversight. Matter of fact, you've got to figure out who accepts as members. The Lord's already determined that, but you have to have a communication process with that. And you end up with, there's a lot of things that has to be done in terms of a local church to function. So guess what? A local church has an identifiable membership. Ideally, you have elders, and the elders have identifiable flock. One other thing about a local church, and again, I know I'm still reviewing, but you end up with a pooling of resources. Here, 1 Corinthians 16:2 talks about a church pooling its resources and having a work. And so you, those three things are minimal. Agreement to work and worship together, a common oversight, a pooling of resources. That's when a local church exists. Local churches come into existence at a certain time, and sometimes they end their existence at a certain time. And you become a member of one local congregation, may choose to become a member of another local congregation. That's what we talk about when we talk about a local church. So, now, with that in mind, let's go a little further. I'm sure we've probably covered what Walker covered last time. Now, let's just get down to the question of, is there a difference between the responsibility and the function of an individual Christian and the responsibility and the function of a local church? Can any of you prove that to me? That's what I'm going to prove to you, but I'm going to give you a chance first. Do you find anywhere in Scripture where the Bible distinguishes between what I do as an individual Christian versus what a church does collectively? Acts chapter 5. What verse? Acts 5:4 maybe? Okay. Acts 5 and verse 4. Well, we'll read that and then I'll ask you to make the point. Acts 5 and verse 4. It says, why, and here, by the way, what was happening is there had been a contribution. And Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, had tried to deceive the church that they were giving the complete proceeds of the land that was sold. And he was being rebuked here. In Acts 5:4, it says, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, what point would you make from this verse?
Well, I would say that Paul is drawing a distinction between money, whether it belongs to an individual or may or may not
have
done with it, and money
when it
is considered part of the
community. Correct. That's right. Notice, while they sold the property with their money, but when you give it to the contribution plan, guess what? You're no longer in control. It's now part of local churches. So we start seeing some differences even there. Let me show you some other differences, if we could. Let's have one of you read. Who would like to read Matthew 18:15-17 from the chart or from your Bible? Who'd like to read? Okay.
Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses. witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector.
Okay, let's break this verse down, okay? Somebody sinned against you. By the way, you don't want to let sin just be ignored. Talking about sin, not somebody hurting your feelings. Somebody sinned. You want to get them to repent. So you go talk to them. They won't repent. One person is gone. Has the church gone yet? Is the church involved yet? No. No. Now notice what happens. The next step is you bring the church in, right? No. The next step is you take you one or two more. So you got one or two more to be witnesses, and you try to work this thing out again, and, well, there goes my glasses. Anyway, you try to work this thing out, and he still doesn't hear again. Has the church gone yet? No. Two or three people went. Now, if he doesn't hear those people, guess who gets brought into the act? The local church. So here, just from this one verse, I can't conclude the responsibility and the work of an individual is equivalent to the responsibility and work of a local church. You see that? I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. Let me give you another verse. I mean, there's a lot of them we can give you, but I'll tell you, I've never met a Christian yet that doesn't believe this, honestly, when you start looking at this subject. 1 Timothy 5:16, if any man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened. It may relieve those who are really widows. Okay, a man takes care of his mother that's in need. Has church done that? Is that the local church at work? No. Matter of fact, that man ought to take care of her. And this is the church should not be charged. The scope and work of an individual Christian is different from the scope and the work of the local church. Again, I know for this class, this is really simple. It's only people that I think they get exposed to some people that can't find book, chapter, verse for some things for a church and they really want to take this position, which is why you sometimes have to talk about these things. Acts 5:4, you know, we talked about that earlier as an example. Now, a simple point I want to make here, and this one I think will be not difficult to understand. And that is, let's suppose we say there is no difference. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Who's this addressed to? Individuals or churches? Individuals. It's individuals. Let me tell you one of the problems we face today in our society. A lot of people are wanting the church to take over family responsibilities. And that's why you end up with church daycare centers and churches being responsible for recreation. And churches end up doing a whole lot of things that aren't good things. I want to tell you something. In the raising of my children, and I kind of have to fight with my children sometimes about these things, I want them to be involved in sports. You know why? Exercise. Learning how to work with others. Teamwork. Discipline. Learn failure as well as success. I believe Ephesians 6:4 and the training of my children gives me authority to do that. Now let's suppose there's no difference in what a local church does and an individual does. And guess what? People, well then the local church can do that. Local church can have teams. Local church can spank your children. How about that one? But a lot of people try to do that. I don't think this verse talks to local churches. Now, if I begin to fail in my responsibility, I should not put that over to the church. Really, that's not the work of church. When we talk about a local congregation, let me give you another example, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. You look at the context of Galatians 6, we're talking about individuals here in this verse. What can we do to people in general in the community? Could we help them if they have financial needs? Could we help them if they need their lawn mowed? could we help them in their... Could we give to the March of Dimes or some organization? Could we give to the Haiti Fund? You know, help rebuild schools and hospitals. There's a lot of things we can do here in terms of individuals. Let me show you another one. We won't talk about all these things about Romans 13, although we might eventually get some interesting debates on this. But basically, government exists because of God's appointment. And the Bible tells you need to pay taxes. And it also talks about the government has the right for punishment. Now let me ask you, are we to submit to government? Yeah, we are, aren't we? Can I run for political office? Could I contribute to a campaign? Could I raise money and give money to a campaign? I can't. Can the church? Now here, as you start developing this and talking with people, there's some Christians who want to apply some of those other verses to the church, but when you start going down consistently, should a church give its funds and resources for somebody running for office? That's not the work of church. By the way, I helped a guy once. I've helped two campaigns in my time. And matter of fact, I remember helping a kid. Anyway, it's kind of funny. They all finished dead last. Matter of fact, they finished dead last in the primary. They couldn't even beat the other guy. So the kiss of death is when you get me to help you, okay? So I told guys that you don't want me around. Okay, one more verse. This one is the clincher. And again, I'm just trying to be consistent with Scripture. Somebody read Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28.
Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is needy.
All right, David, when you graduate from college, you know what you're going to have to do?
Work.
You got to work. Like the old bumper sticker, I owe, so off to work I go, you know. All right. Now, let's suppose you decided that you're just too good for that. And really, you know, we just ought to give you some money. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if anyone will not work, why? Neither shall he. Now, if you're going to work, do you have authority to work? You got authority, you got a command, you got to work. How can you work? What's the possibilities in this verse? The authority God gives us to make money. What's the possibilities? We could work for somebody and get the W-2, pay taxes out the nose. You know, we'd do that. What else could we do? Could you go into business? Yeah, go into business. You could, you know, there are various ways. Now, the individual Christians must do that. Now, can the church go into business? You see. Most Christians that I know, they really do make a distinguish between the work of a local Christian and the work of a local church, except in some things. Let me tell you, you can't pick and choose here. What you need to do is when you decide you want to find out what local churches do, you need to find local churches that are addressed. When somebody says to you, the church is made of individuals, so whatever individuals can do, the church may do, they're not looking at Scripture correctly. Wow, for all of that outline, I've covered it pretty quickly, haven't I? That's the essence of what I want to talk about on this one. Let me give you fours. I didn't realize I'd go through this quickly, but yeah, come up. Let me give you some fours, and we'll go ahead and do some introduction into that. Unless you want to go longer on three. How about just y'all passing these around here if we could. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Talking about, I guess we're talking about having people become members and things like that, and use the verse referencing, it's first to talk to the elders.
Yes.
Do you have an example of being identified with a group that are not elders?
Well, let's think about that. We gave you the example of Acts chapter 9. And I'm trying to think, well, I don't know if it tells us that the church at Jerusalem had elders. They probably did, we don't know for sure. We do know that churches can exist without elders. The reason why Paul's, between Paul's first missionary journey and second missionary journey, Acts 14:23, is he went back to those churches that they appointed elders in every church. And so because of that, we know churches can exist, and therefore, since they were a church, they had a membership, they had to have some way. So that would be my answer on that, a quick answer. Yes?
This is kind of relevant with okay. the work of the local church with the contribution. What if you worked for a company that would match whatever contributions you made to the church? Like, the company would make out a check to the church. How would you feel about that?
Well, what you would do in that case is rather send it to the church, give it to the preacher. Oh, okay. Well, no. I never heard of that. Really, that's good, though. You know, wow, I've never heard of that one. You know, it's interesting. I mean, if you want to, let me, we're getting out of big bath. We got some time to do that. Okay, here we go. Go to the book of 3 John. And I've been meditating on this verse this week, and I don't know if I can tell you all the implications of it. But it's interesting how when it comes to the work of the Lord, the money that we take up through the treasury, or the money that we might even as Christians give to other Christians, other evangelists or others in their work. Notice 3 John verses 5 through 8. When we talk about particularly the treasury and the first day of the week contribution, there is an implication of fellowship, a spiritual relationship in that. Here it says, although it's not talking about, in this case, the contribution per se, but notice this, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Now look at verse 7. Because they went forth for His name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And you start seeing words like fellow here, you're talking about fellowship. You're talking about fellowship based upon a commonality of us having salvation in Christ. And here you find those people going out on a spiritual mission, a spiritual work that a local church could be involved with, individual Christians could be involved with. But notice, they took nothing from the Gentiles. So just right off the bat, that would bother me. Think about it. This is the first time I've had that question. But that's the verse I've been thinking about this week. You know, that money that we use on the first day of the week, it needs to be directed in God's ways and God's purposes. And that this is, even though here we don't know for sure that it's dealing with a contribution, but it's dealing with that of why a Christian would help another Christian in the preaching of the gospel. So, by the way, I gave you some examples. When I was in Tuscaloosa, attending University of Alabama, the church that initially, that when I was baptized in, they were close to the stadium. You know what they did? When football games sell, they charge for parking. Well, as I take with the authority of Christ and try to stay within that, the only way the church raises money is first day of the week contribution. So that's almost like taking from the Gentiles in the sense, although you're giving a service, you're going in business. I would not go door to door saying, would you give to the church so that we can go do this spiritual work? Not with non-Christians. So that may relate to that. Good question. It's time for a lot of questions, guys. Got some questions? We got a little time to deal with it.
Go along with what you were saying in 1 Corinthians 16, it's called the collection of the saints, for the saints. It's not for the saints of Gentiles. So.
Right. Yeah.
That kind of thing works out too, because you have a whole political thing now with a company or something that's you on the page there. Political in the sense that, opinions are, being laid on a certain decision or something like that too.
you're allowing an outside force to start contributing and control what's happening inside the church.
Yeah, the rule is you start taking money, you're soon going to lose control. Yeah, that's a very dangerous principle in a general way. Okay. Yes.
On a similar note, I've heard of people who, in their wills, like when they die, they leave all their money or whatever to the church.
Yes.
What would you consider?
I wouldn't have a problem with that, although I've never been to church that did that. But I mean, that is like their giving of their means, and then they choose because, you know, they've written off the children. No, they decide they want that money, go on first day with church, there's no problem. They're kind of like on vacation, and like people check ahead of time and say, hey, did you put that, you know, in treasury for me? We didn't have to do it that way. We could have done it when we got back, but we kind of like to maintain the consistency on that. So I don't have a problem with that, because the individual is giving after they're dead, but they are directing what they want to do with their funds. You know, when we talk about this subject, it gets kind of, it gets controversial, because one thing, we're talking about money. And you'll find in this world that the subject of money oftentimes can create political forces, even within the church, of things, of people wanting the money to go a certain direction. Yes, Dave?
One thing I wasn't really clear on is where it distinguishes the difference between what is a Bible class and what is the church gathering as a whole.
Okay. You see, we've studied that on Sunday night. No, it's like you were there, though. That's right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, and that really gets us off the scope of this particular study, but I'll try to give you an answer. Is that in 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about for women to keep silent in the church, I believe that that is a specific kind of gathering of Christians. And I believe in the context it tells you in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says here, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place. So, is this the whole church together in one place here? No. Could we have the Lord's Supper tonight here? Could we do it Sunday morning here and be in a Bible class? No. We recognize there's a difference between a Bible class and the assembly. And so I'm saying 1 Corinthians 14 is the gathering of the whole church together in one place to do the things they're to do together. And so I would. That's how I would distinguish between the rules given there. By the way, the rules given there are not just women keep it silent, but men are twice commanded to keep silent in 1 Corinthians 14 as well. In one case, a man who wasn't to speak in a tongue, he didn't have an interpreter, keep silent. Man that could prophesy, but there could only be two or three, you got to keep silent. So this is really dealing with the orderliness of an assembly. And we see that it's very emphatic. Verse 37 says, the things I'm teaching you are commandments of the Lord. So again, we're very serious about a local church. There's some things that, you know, how we do things together is very important. By the way, if you agree with me on what we've covered, on the need of authority and the difference between a local church and an individual Christian, the rest of this study, in my opinion, is easy. But the rest of this study, particularly beginning next week, we'll deal with controversial things. We're going to ask, is it the work of a church to feed people, to have social meals? Is it the work of a church to be involved in recreation? Is it the work of the church? We're going to talk next week, what can the church do in its work? Outlines, you should have them. If you don't have before, I've got some more here. And appreciate your participation tonight. Appreciate your interest. I'll put the fours up front if you don't have one. Thank you.